All right, so I'm going to begin. I like to start on time because there's not so much time and I really have a lot to cover. Hello. No problem. So this is the Simcha Seminar. My name is Rav Kalman. Short introduction. I live in the Old City, Baruch Hashem. I've been a teacher in Jewish education for like a long time, like 15 years since I've been a kid. And I also work as a tour guide. So that's on Thursdays. I have a tour guide class with you guys. And yes, very excited. One of the things that I actually realized as I was going through that hard experience is that life was still pretty good. That even though I was going through a pain and suffering type of really tough situation, if I had a lot of blessings in my life that I could focus on, and I had a lot of good like habits, and I had a good chavrusa, I had a good Shabbos meal that I host on Shabboses, and I had a lot of good thoughts, I had good family, I had a lot to be thankful for, and I could still be happy most of the time, even during the really, really challenging situations. And that kind of like triggered this whole real huge interest in simcha, in joy. Because it really became like my motif in life. Like I just need simcha. I just need a lot of simcha in my life because simcha makes me a better Eved Hashem, makes me a better Yid. So I started reading a lot of books about joy, mostly from positive psychology, but also a lot of Hasidus and stuff like that. And I read like 15 books and I really became a lover of simcha. And that is where this course came from. I'm going to try to condense all of that knowledge into like each book or two into like one 45-minute class, which is impossible. I actually have given this course to, you know, people pay for it, and we do like 2 hours a class. But what can you do? We only have a certain amount of time. So we will try our best, Bezrat Hashem, to bring all the information and give it over to you guys. So that's one, a lot of really interesting, helpful information, both from Torah sources and also a lot of psychology and positive psychology and science. That's where it's come from. Yes. Yeah, sure. Of course, we should record the class. Also, sometimes people don't come, so it's good to record the class. They should always come, but if God forbid, you know, you're sick or something. So that's one thing. The other thing that's cool about this class, and I've had, thank God, a lot of experience teaching in the past, is it really can be transformative. Meaning people really walk away saying, wow, not all my whole life has changed, but they actually, that one practice that we learned in that class, one of our classes, we're going to learn about meditative brachas, saying brachas really slowly. So I've had my students come to me in the U of Penn and be like, whoa, I'm still saying, you know, a really long bracha in the middle of my lunch. And I've had people say, wow, that sleeping class, it totally changed my sleeping patterns. It really can work, but it only works, you're only going to get as much as you put in. Okay, so if you're just coming here because it's like a fun class and there's pictures and you're not actually going to do the hard work, you're not going to get that much out of it. This class is unique in that I'm asking you guys not just to show up and listen for 45 minutes, but rather the whole week to do something. Every class you're going to have a homework assignment, something that you're going to be expected to do every single day. Now those things are going to be small. It's only going to take a few minutes. But that's the goal of this class, that we are becoming a group, a community that's supporting each other, that there's accountability. Obviously, there are certain things you might not feel comfortable with taking by yourself. That's fine. But in general, I want the people who are taking this class to actually be working hard outside of the classroom. Sounds good? Last year, we had a WhatsApp group, and I think that's a really good idea to hold each other accountable. It's not going to be overwhelming. Not everyone's going to be commenting all the time. I'm just going to send little reminders and little YouTube videos and stuff like that to help mechazet, to help strengthen whatever practice we learn about each week. Yeah? You got a question?
Come. Okay, it's a little cheesy, but my sister decided to start a group chat with like selected people, and like every single day they would write something that they appreciated in that day. Because like sometimes you just go through hard times and like you need to identify those things.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's wonderful.
I thought it just reminded me.
Yeah, 100%. By the way, so you might notice on the source sheet on the curriculum, I don't have a class about gratitude. It's not that I forgot. Obviously, gratitude, like we just started with gratitude, is a huge element of happiness. But In the second semester, I'm teaching a whole course focusing on gratitude and chesed and kindness as ways to be happy. So that's why those two are missing from our curriculum, but that's the second semester. It's a similar type of course, and probably some of the stuff I won't get to, I'm going to throw into that one, but that's why I'm not focusing so much on gratitude and chesed. By the way, also on Hashgacha Pratis level, in this week's Parsha, when I was reading the Parsha, I was like, whoa, the whole Parsha is about Simcha. When you bring the Bikurim before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah, v'samachta, and you should be happy, you and the lady. So I was just like, wow, it's a Gevaltik week to start the Simcha Seminar in the Parsha that starts talking about Simcha. Fun fact, all of the times that Simcha is mentioned in the Torah, it's in Sefer Devarim, and it's in Eretz Yisrael. You never hear Simcha mentioned unless it's talking about Sefer Devarim and Eretz Yisrael. That's just something fascinating to think about. Anyways, that's just that's the course curriculum. All clear? All good? Amazing. Okay. I want to start with a story that just happened. Okay? So I think it's Hashem sent me this experience so that I could demonstrate the idea of this class. So I got here for my first halacha class, the class I teach before this. And I'm sitting in my classroom that I taught last year. You know, I got here early. I made all the source sheets. Everything's ready. And no one shows up. I'm like, I mean, it's my first day. How could they, you know, if there's a second class, fine. But what do they have against me? You know, they haven't met me yet. So I'm just sitting there. 5 minutes passes. And this is the only classroom available. It's because all the other classes I saw, all the teachers took. This must be the right class. And I'm like, this is weird. Okay, you know? So I have a podcast that I listen to. It's Rabbi David Ashir Daily Emunah Podcast. Anybody, you guys know? Whatever.
Yeah,
good. So I listen to it sometimes. So I put on my podcast. I'm like, all right, I have some free time. I'm like stapling these tour sheets. I might as well listen to some Torah. And the first thing he's talking about is that there's suffering in life and then there's pain. And they're not the same thing. And you can have painful experiences, but suffering is what we choose to focus on. When we put our thoughts on that, that's what creates suffering. So you might have a painful experience, but if instead of focusing on the negative, you focus on the positive, then it actually could be a positive experience. Right? He often talks about how there's kaparot, and when you're going through a negative experience, if you thank a Kaddish Baruch Hu for it, it actually brings a great kapara. So I was like, whoa, I'm just having this really challenging experience, right? I'm so excited to teach this class, nobody shows up. And I have this opportunity, so I said, thank you, Hashem. And then literally 5 minutes later, I was fine. I was like eating my dinner, I was preparing for my next class. Meanwhile, 20 minutes in, I told the Madrucha that it's weird, nobody showed up. I don't know, maybe one or the other. And she's like, oh, they're all in the other classroom. Because this classroom didn't exist last year. So I didn't think to look into here because like it was just a computer. So it turns out that actually nobody ditched my class. I was just being a silly billy. But it's a good example of how your experience is one thing, and then how you interpret your experience is really what's gonna change your happiness level and your simcha level. Yeah, you guys got the story? That was my, usually something Hashgacha Pratis will happens to me, so I often start off with that. So that was my Hashgacha Pratis of the day. And without further ado, we will start our first topic. Okay. It would be logical to start this course with the question of what is Simcha, okay? And we will, Bezrat Hashem, I really hope, have a class dedicated to defining Simcha. And the whole course is really about how to bring more Simcha into your life, so you have to know what it is before you can bring it into your life, right? That makes sense. Only thing is, most of the classes are going to have something practical. That's the idea. I want you guys to walk away with something practical from the classes. So I wanted to do our first class about something like the fundamental practical basis of the entire curriculum, of the whole course, okay? And we'll get back to defining Simcha. You guys have pretty much know what Simcha is. It's associated with joy. You have an idea of what it is. And so we're going to start about the fundamental way in which we will bring Simcha into our lives in a long-lasting type of way. Okay? Sounds good? Okay, with all of those introductions, introduction number 10. So here's the problem that we all encounter sometimes. We go to an inspiring shiur, right? And the rabbi blows us away and we decide we're never going to speak Lashon Hara ever again. Or we're never going to, you know, we're always going to have kavana in davening. For sure. Every word of Kavana. We're never going to go on our phones in the middle of class. We're never going to, right? And then we find ourselves a day, a week, a month later, going back into our bad habits, right? It's happened, I'm sure, to every single person here, right? Where we were so inspired, and then the inspiration doesn't really last, and we go back to our bad habits. So that's the problem, right? That brings you to, you know, source number one. You have this guy over here, he's writing New Year's resolutions, and he wants to quit smoking and exercise every day and eat healthy food and do yoga, but instead of crossing out his to-do list, he's crossing out the years, right? And so we all experience, this is the problem, we want to change, but we don't find the ability to actually change. So the question is, why? Why does that happen? What are we doing wrong? What strategical mistake are we making? And there are probably many, but one of the, I think, problems is that our strategy in general is Nike. Just do it, right? We hear this year, never going to speak Lashon Hara ever again, and our plan is we're never going to speak. That's it. You know, we're just going to do it because we wanted to do it. In other words, instead of actually making a plan with step one, step two, step three, step four for a change, a plan of action, and we just kind of leave it out there as it was a really cool shiur. We heard that TED talk, amazing, and it just goes into the wind by the next thing that we hear that we're inspired about. Yeah? So I think that is the problem. In fact, studies have shown that less than 10% of the commitments that we make of like for growth actually end up coming to fruition. And this is super relevant. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, we're all trying to think about how we can become better people. But we should just know that if we just throw it out there as, I kind of want to, it's very unlikely that that will actually last in the long term. Okay? So then, what is the solution? What ideas, let me throw it out to you guys. What ideas can we use to actually bring our inspiration into reality? So go and say your name. So,
Mary. I feel like taking like baby steps, like one step at a time, like break it down.
Awesome. Right. So not just I'm never going to speak Lashon Hara, but I'm going to read a page of Chafetz Chaim every day. Great.
I was going to say that.
Okay. Excellent.
Sometimes it helps to just like gather thoughts before just jumping into things. Like you could write down like all your goals, or like B, you could learn about it before actually doing it, because sometimes that inspires you more.
Excellent. So everything you guys are saying, we're trying to totally touch on. You want to learn about it. You want to give yourself a stronger why, and write down your thoughts as to why you want to do it. Excellent.
And kind of what Mary was saying, in school, like, when we did a whole talk question hard, like, we all signed up for like an hour slot, so we chose that working.
Right. So you started small and you got specific. Excellent. Yeah.
Also, if you like do something with like a friend and like you can motivate each other and like keep each other accountable for like, what you guys are doing, so you don't lose track.
Awesome. You have an accountability partner who's going to hold you accountable. It's much, much more likely it's going to last. Awesome. So almost everything that you guys are saying, we're going to touch upon in today's class. Yeah.
And Ariana. And then, like, be extra cautious, like, during your everyday activities that you're not doing what you're trying not to do. Like, if you're trying not to speak Lashon Hara, like, catch yourself and, like, realize, oh, I just spoke Lashon Hara.
Excellent. So you kind of study yourself and watch over yourself. And why am I doing, when, under what situations am I triggered to do such things? Awesome. Thank you, Edgar.
Do you have a reminder? You don't forget.
Okay. Right, absolutely. I told you I am a tour guide. So today I was davening mincha, and I knew that my tour was at 4:40, and I'm davening mincha at the Kotel. And at 4:19, something just starts like ringing, and I look at my phone, and I have a tour now, exactly now. So it was actually a 4:20 tour. So I sprinted out, and thank God I wasn't so late. So having reminders for your stuff is very, very helpful, because sometimes you're convinced, but life happens. Yeah?
My name's Holly. Like, if this is something specific you're trying to do more, sometimes if you're, like, more descriptive of when you want to do it, then you'll be more likely to do it.
Awesome. So you get not just in general, but you get very specific time. Awesome. So it seems like you guys already know this class. We'll move. No. But we'll review, because it's good to do chazara. Nonetheless, and mechazik, a lot of things, which a lot of this class is intuitive, but we're going to kind of strengthen it, mechazik it, hopefully give a little inspiration, and then jump into it during the week. Okay, So I like to start with the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, a great, great sage, wise man, and we even have a nice picture of him with his filling on. And he said, based on a pasuk in Mishle, that change your habits, pales magal raglecha, raglecha from the lesson of hergel, chol drachecha ikonu, and all of your ways will be set. In other words, if we change our habits, everything will be good. Similarly, he wrote, the entire purpose of our existence is to overcome our negative habits. So on the flip side, change, put good habits in your life and it's all good, and getting rid of your negative habits is actually the whole reason why we are here. That's it. That's mission number one. You heard it here from the Vilna Gaon. In a different but similar type of way, there is a 17th century British poet, John Dryden, and he says so beautifully, first we make our habits, and then our habits make us. Okay, I want us to think about that for a second. What does that mean? First we make our habits, and then our habits make us. What does that mean? Yeah.
Once you have like a habit and like start getting into something that's not necessarily like good for you, and you like start to take over your life and control you, and like in the beginning you had control of it.
Right, and then it's just an addiction.
Once it becomes
and then just it's like this is who I am, and I don't even want to be that. You want to say something?
I think it's saying that like you have more control over like your like habits, and like it's not really saying that you have a negative habit. It's kind of saying like if you have anything like negative, like it's because like you like start off doing that and then like it's like continuing.
It just keeps becoming who you are because that's how you bring
through,
and not who you really want.
Like the Vilna Gaon saying like the purpose is to overcome our negative habits, and he's like kind of placing more of the blame on you and saying like you're only like that because you started.
Mm-hmm. Right, but it's not actually. He's saying you made the decision to do it in the first place, which is true. Yeah.
To add on to what you said, you basically get to choose your habits. So if you want to make yourself a better person, you've established the habits that you want to fix or new habits that you want to take on, and you work on them. Because it's all things that you can't blame anyone but yourself.
Right. Absolutely, absolutely. We have a huge effect on based on the choices we make in our life. That's actually my cash line in my email. Choose joy, because we have the choice. Excellent. So what is our plan for the Simcha seminar? The plan is the following. Look at verse 5. A, make a solid plan for inculcating new good habits. B, develop the habits consistently throughout our course. And C, generate long-lasting Simcha practices for our lives. And Bezrat Hashem, hopefully it will last for a very, very long time, maybe our whole lives. I don't expect necessarily every single habit that we learn about to last your whole lives, but hopefully at least one or two you can actually take upon yourself and it could actually become a part of who we are. Okay? Now I want to jump right back into this habit topic to explain why specifically, what's the chiddush of habits? Why dafka is it important to work on the habit and not just in theory, becoming better. So, answer number one, source number six, is the following. We don't realize it, but a huge percentage of our lives are basically being run by our subconscious mind. Right? We're just basically on autopilot. Even right now, probably a lot of things that we're doing are on autopilot. Even the way I'm talking, the way I'm expressing myself, the way you listen, the way you write, the way you breathe. All of these things are just kind of natural. They're things that our brain doesn't have to think much about. And that's good, because our brain doesn't want to work super hard. Yeah, because there's just so many choices to make, and it wants to take it easy. Okay? And so, that's where habits come in, because once it becomes just part of who we are, our brain doesn't have to deliberate, our brain doesn't have to think too much, it's just, that's naturally what we do. For example, who here woke up and asked themselves, you don't actually have to raise your hand, will I brush my teeth today or not? Some people are still deliberating that. Most people just brush their teeth, right? Who woke up and said, should I put on my clothes today? Maybe there's some people, but thank God, most of us, it's just a habit. We know, right? Like who here asked, when they ride a bicycle, it just comes natural, right? So thankfully, God built our brain in such a way that once we do something a certain amount of times, the first time you ride the bike, it's hard, the second time you fall off. But after enough times when you do it, it becomes part of who we are. Okay? And that's the amazing thing about habits. So the key, again, is to focus on looking at our daily schedule and inculcating new joyous practices into our lives. So it's not just a theory, ephemeral idea, but something that I eventually, if I stick to it, if I keep pushing in the beginning, will just become a part of who I am. Yeah? So that's answer number one. Answer number two is a very beautiful, famous quote from the Sefer HaChinuch, who was a 15th century sage, and he writes, "Acharei ha-pe'ulot nimshachim ha-levavot." Okay, what does that mean in English? Beautiful. After the actions comes the heart, which is counterintuitive. We might have thought, after I'm motivated, after I want to do something, then I'm going to do the action, right? And that is how life works sometimes, right? We hear an amazing TED talk about exercising every day, and we say, now I'm going to start exercising every day, which is true. But oftentimes, it's the opposite. That, here's a great example, davening. Once you know how to daven, and you know the words of the Shemona Esrei by heart, and you know the Shema by heart, then you can start jumping into the kavanas and the meaning behind the words of davening. But I have friends who are Balei Tshuva, and they don't even have time to think about the kavana, about the meaning of the words in davening, because all they're trying to figure out is how to say the words. Once we are actually doing the actions, right, which is the beauty of a halachic, if you've been blessed of living in a halachic family, you already know how to do this stuff. And once you've been doing stuff for a while, there's the opportunity to actually make it meaningful. There's obviously a flip side. What's the opposite problem? Once you've been doing it for a while, it becomes rote. And I've been just davening forever, so just I'm going on autopilot in the middle of my Shemona Esrei every day. Right? So that, there's obviously a downside to habits, but there's also a possible upside. Okay, and finally, source number nine, the third benefit of developing positive habits and the negative side of developing negative habits is the domino effect. Right? You see the dominoes? So what do I mean? What's the domino effect of habits? What do we mean by that? Any guesses?
One bad one leads to another, or the
other. Excellent. Exactly. Or as the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, mitzvah goreres mitzvah v'avera goreres avera. Okay? Which means that one mitzvah leads to the next mitzvah, and one sin leads to the next sin. Right? As we were saying before, that is the nature of life. Here's a great example. Let's say a person decides, you know what, every night after learning, I end up doing a Netflix binge and I go to bed at 2 in the morning. And then when I go up at 2 in the morning, I wake up at like 10. And then I wake up at 10, I don't really feel like davening, I don't feel good about myself, I don't really feel like learning, and thus it goes and goes and goes and goes. But take the opposite. A person decides, you know what, tonight I'm going to be in bed no matter what, I'm going to force myself to be in bed by 11 o'clock, you wake up early, I wake up at 6, I'm ahead of all my friends, maybe I'll go for a run, oh, I feel great, maybe I'm going to learn, I'm going to daven, and I feel great about myself, look at this new me, one thing leads to the next, and suddenly I'm doing all this great stuff, and this becomes a part of who I am. So good habits lead to new good habits, and bad habits lead to bad habits. Something that maybe we'll have time to talk about is that there's also something called the very essential choices. There are some choices in our life, in our day, which will affect others, but there are others that we're going to affect the entire day. There's like a key moment. So I'll give the example of the Netflix binge. At 11 o'clock, do I decide to go out to the movies or do I decide to go to bed? That decision is going to end up starting all the dominoes that's going to affect everything else in my life, right? So a lot of times, if we're thinking about new habits to take upon ourselves with this new year, new energy, we want to, if we have the strength, we want to key in on those essential habits that are going to affect everything else in our lives. Right? So I'll tell you, for example, for me, I realize that every day I'm so much happier if I run. I don't need to run for an hour. I need to run for 10 minutes. And that has an effect on my energy level and my simcha and my eating habits and my davening. Everything is affected by that one choice I make to exercise. And I've learned that by studying myself with time. So by studying ourselves, we can figure out what choices are the essential choices that are going to lead to all the other good choices. Okay, so that's number three of why we focus specifically on habits. Okay, now, habits can be changed. as we noted before. And we know this on a societal level. We ourselves, at least, I have seen our society change in ways. And if a society changes, it means we can also change. So here's a great example. Seatbelts. Okay? How many people here, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many people, if you want to raise your hand, wear seatbelts? Most people wear seatbelts. It's a pretty normal thing in America. Did you know that in 1984, only 14% of Americans wore seatbelts? Okay? It's pretty crazy. Why? Because there weren't seatbelt awareness, there weren't seatbelt laws, you wouldn't get fined for seatbelts.
No, they also didn't know how serious it was.
Right, they didn't know how important it was. For all sorts of reasons, the world changed. And now it's become our habit, it becomes normal to just put on a seatbelt, right? Here's another example, smoking. I'm not going to ask who smokes, but here's a fun question. What percent of Americans smoke? What percentage nowadays?
A
lot. Too many, but what percentage nowadays smoke?
Less than 40.
Definitely less. Oh, you guys looked at the sheet. Very good. Very good. That's always the trick. 13% of Americans smoke, which is way too much. 13% too high, in my opinion. But it used to be in 1965, 48%. Almost every other American was smoking. Okay. So what happened? A lot of stuff changed. Awareness, all those scary commercials, right?
With their skin peeling.
Yeah. And the culture, it's not cool anymore to smoke. All sorts of stuff happens, but what was once so normal in our society can also not become normal in just a few years. And sometimes it's just a little change which can make all the difference. Okay, so we can change on a societal level. And I can tell you on a personal level, if I were just saying in theory, it'd be one thing. I've seen in my own life a lot of little changes that have become a part of who I am. And I'll still have a lot of things that I'm working on. But for example, here's an interesting example. I used to fall asleep in the middle of Kabbalah Shabbat. Right? I don't know if you guys ever had that experience. You go to shul and you're Friday night, you're tired, whatever. And every Friday night, I was falling asleep in the middle of my davening. And then I made one little change which changed everything. Anybody guess what change I made?
Dance.
Close. Even before dancing?
Sleep.
Close.
Sleep.
I stood. I stood up for davening. Very good. I stood up for davening. And then once I was standing, I was into it. And then eventually I went to yeshiva where we sing and we dance. And I go to the Kotel every Friday night. We dance and sing every Friday night. And all started with that one little change of standing up. Instead of, by the way, also with my learning, a lot of times I'm falling asleep. When I'm learning, when I stand up, I never fall asleep. So it can be one choice of an action which changed my entire experience of Friday night. Now, I love it. I can't imagine not singing and dancing, you know, on Friday night. But it all started with that one change. Here's another silly example. I have a model that Bezrat Hashem will talk about for davening, where at the end of my Shrona Esrei, I do the GPS. Okay, what's GPS? A gratitude, a prayer, and a sorry. Okay, but I focus mostly on the gratitude.
There's a course.
Yeah, okay, so maybe they still made it. Is it the same?
It's
a different.
GPS.
Yeah, okay, so maybe the idea has spread without me knowing. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, that was my idea, it's become just, I can't even, like, think of not saying that. It's like, even if my brain has been, who knows where, in my Shmona Esrei, somehow it remembers, by Elokai Netzor, to actually do my GPS, and at least at my Shmona Esrei, I feel like I'll get a little bit of a conversation with the
Kaddish.
What is a gratitude? Prayer and sorry. But I start with the G, which is just, I thank Hashem for whatever was good in my life that day. So this is a little habit that I started doing at a certain point in my life, and it's become just natural for my brain to now go there. Prayer and sorry. Get nothing out of this class if you do that. I used to drink way too much sugar. Truth is, I didn't know sugar was bad for you, so I was a lot older. And I play Frisbee at the end of the game, I would chug a whole, you know, sugar drink. At a certain point, I realized, and through a lot of different methods, I ended up weaning that out of my system. Now, I don't really have sugar-full drinks. Sometimes on Shabbos, I cheat. But it is possible to change both good and negative habits. I myself have experienced it. And so you guys also, Bezrat Hashem, absolutely can change your habits if you want to. I also still have tons of things I'm working on. So, you know, very, very, very far from, like, not missing tours accidentally and coming late to stuff. But we're leaving my books all over the universe, so we all have a lot to work on, Bezrat Hashem, together. Okay. So I'm going a little fast, but we have a lot to cover. So how do habits work? Scientifically, it's, by the way, all, a lot of this is based on a book by, of course, left in the other room. It's called Habits, Atomic Power of Habits.
Which is I Atomic Habits?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
they,
I
yeah,
read
they,
that.
Look at that. Okay. So I'm trying to condense this entire book and another book into one little sheet. But it's, if anybody wants to borrow it over the Chagim, whatever, you're welcome. So habits work like this. You have a cue. Something happens, okay? And then you crave. Walk into the bakery store. You crave the cookie. And then you eat the cake. And it feels good for the first 10 minutes. And then you feel icky sometimes afterwards. So that's the way that habits work. Three stages. Something happens. You crave it. You do it. And then there is either a reward or a punishment, okay? And if it's a good reward, we want it. Our brain wants to do it. And the more we do something, the easier it is for our brain to do it again. Like, literally, our brain changes and now it becomes easier to do that action. Okay? So, for our final few minutes of our class, I want to focus on a few tips that I shall throw out there as to how to make new habits stick. And again, throughout the rest of our semester, Be'ezrat Hashem, we're going to be referring back to these fundamental ideas. In order to make the new habits we'll be inculcating, bring them into our lives. You guys got it? Okay. Number one, tip number one, to choose a new habit, ask yourself, where would I like to be? What would I like to do? We were talking about that before. Actually sit down with a pen and paper and think, what do I really, really want to change about myself? And here's another great way of looking at it. Who would I like to be? Okay, not just what would I like to do, but imagine a different version of you that is like, that's the type of person who I want to be. A lot of times if I envision a different person who I want to be like that, that can give me the motivation to actually push me forward to making that change, okay? So for example, if I say, I'm an Eved Hashem, I'm a servant of God now, so that could say, well, therefore I want to do Aleph, Bet, or Gimel. Or to put it different, let's say a person is trying to quit smoking, and someone offers them a cigarette. So one way of saying it is, no, I'm trying to quit right now. Will be another way of saying it, no, I'm not a smoker. It's very different, right? Because by saying I'm not a smoker, I'm defining myself as a different type of human being, and it's therefore totally out of my realm of existence. Yeah. Okay, so how we define ourselves, or who we are, or who we'd like to be, can often motivate us to what we want to change about ourselves. And as we mentioned, it's always wiser to start small and build momentum. Right? What happens often is we'll make a big commitment and then you try and then it's too hard and then you fail. And then what happens? You don't really want to try again, right? Because you already failed. So it's deflating to start saying, oh, I'm going to try to get rid of Lashon Hara again, but I already tried and that didn't work, so I give up. So if instead we pick something kind of small and we master it and we succeed in that, that will give our brains the momentum to say, oh, I want to keep going. I want to push. I want to go further. So that's tip number one. Write it down and start small and build momentum. And if you have any questions or comments at any point, you're welcome. You don't have to be shy. I'm just going fast. Tip number two, be very specific. Okay, we mentioned this also idea. Don't just say, I want to be a nicer person. But you want to write down specifically what action I will do that will make me a nicer person. I'm going to text my mother every single day a compliment. And it's something I started when I got married. Every day my wife and I have a WhatsApp group called Appreciation. And we would send each other, one compliment every day. Which is, yeah, there we go. So that's another idea you could take, tell your future husband that Rav Kalman said it really worked. It's a good idea. It really helped. There we go. So be specific. Tip number three, and this one I think is a lot of times people forget. I got this from BJ Fogg. Anchor your new habit with something that you already do. So for example, sorry? It means like this. Let's say you want to start every day. Give me a new something that you want to start doing. You want to daven mincha, perfect. So you could just say, every day I'll daven mincha. Or you could... Sometimes you get caught up in life and it's not natural. Or you could say every day after I eat lunch, right? Most people eat lunch. Then I will eat daven mincha. You're anchoring what the new habit to something you already do, and eventually your brain will associate the two with each other, and it's much, much easier to do the new habit once you're already linking it with a very specific time period. Exactly. So that's the idea, and that's super duper helpful. Number four, the law of least effort. Okay, what does that mean? It's similar to what I mentioned in the first tip. You want to make your new habit easy. You don't want to make it so hard. Or as Peter Bergman writes, don't write a book, write a page. Right? Your goal, actually right now I'm trying to write a sefer, but if I told myself that, it's about davening. It's about svas emes on tefillah. So if I told myself I'm going to write a sefer today, I would be very overwhelmed. It would be like, I have too many other things to do, you know, minimal class on Thursday. But if I tell myself every day I'm going to go to the library and read and write a page, that's realistic. It's also exciting. It's much more doable. And sometimes, once I'm already writing that page, I'll be so inspired. I'll have time and I'll want to write 10 pages, right? But the idea is you make a small goal that's very easy and very achievable, and then you can do more. Why? Again, because the idea is we want to get ourselves psyched and pumped up that this is who we are and build that brain consciousness that this is me. This is the new common. So we want to try as much as we can to not break the streak, to not whatever streak we're in, just keep going. And if we do break the streak, to just get up right again and start doing it before we lose faith in ourselves. Okay, tip number five. And this I'm sure we'll talk about in the future, is change your environment, okay? What are you guys doing here in Israel, right? You could probably learn Torah in America, but you came here obviously because you wanted to be invested in a beautiful, holy environment here in the seminary here in Eretz Yisrael. And as the famous Mishnah teaches in Nagaim, Oy l'rosha, oy l'shcheina, woe to the wicked man and woe to his neighbor. And on the flip side, yay for the tzaddik and yay for their neighbors. Our environment has a huge, huge effect on us. So by choosing to change my surroundings, that's for sure going to affect the actions that I will take. Okay, so again, to make this practical, okay, bring this back to practicality. Let's say I want to learn in my free time, I want to be learning the bass. Okay? So what's likely going to get in the way? What are some obstacles that are going to get in the way of me learning? Distractions. What are some distractions that come up often?
Friends.
Okay. So if I'm hanging out with my friends, that's going to be hard. And phone. Phone is distraction number one for our generation. Okay? So I can just tell myself, well, I won't look at the phone. But what happens? Your eye looks at it and, you know, it pulls us in our environment. So what's a very, very simple thing that sometimes I'll do? I should put it here. I don't see it out of sight, I'm no longer tempted, right? So that can affect everything in life. Make the bad habits you want to get rid of as invisible as possible. Think about how do you push it away. And make the good habits as visible as possible, right? So for example, let's say every day I want to learn how to play guitar. Really want to learn how to play guitar. You see this on the bottom, a little guitar. Put the guitar in your room so you can't walk past your room without seeing the guitar. I want to go running every day. I put the shoes right next to my bed. I want to learn a new sefer every day. I put that Chafetz Chaim sefer right on my mukkam so I can't. It's hard to avoid it. Right? Physically put things in such a way. Put your journal right in a place that you will succeed. Okay. Finishing up. We mentioned this, and Bezrat Hashem, I actually have a full hour class on this that I don't know if we'll have time to give, but make an accountability a partner, right? That is going to, I think it takes it from like 10% success to 50% success. You have someone to go running with, you have a chavrusa to learn with, you have someone to mechazik you, there's a much, much greater chance that you're going to last. And by the way, that is why I'm setting up this whole class with a WhatsApp group, and I forgot to mention, we're going to have sticker charts, okay? Yes. So next week, anybody who does the assignment is going to have a very visible, next to your name, sticker that you're going to get, which is not childish at all, which is super cool. And the idea is we're holding each other accountable for the new habits we want to give. Hold on, girls. I still have 1.5 minutes left. Don't run away yet. Okay. So I'm not going to... I'll say 30 seconds left. One more tip. Daven. Okay? We
what
so daven to daven. Okay? Okay. You got... We can't do anything without a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Here's your assignment. Okay? Here's your assignment. Excited for your first assignment?
I'm very excited. What is it?
Your assignment is very simple this week. I'm not going to give you a specific practice that you have to do, but I would like every person here to write out a list of your habits. Okay? Take a pen and paper. Take a specific day this week, a specific time, maybe after davening, after shachar's tomorrow, whatever. Make a time right now. Think about it. It could be getting rid of bad habit. It could be a good habit. I'd prefer if it was a Jewish-oriented habit, but I'm not going to hold the account.
How many habits should you write down?
Write down as many habits as you can, and then pick one habit that you would like to work on this semester, or one habit that you would like to get rid of. And if you want bonus points, to actually start doing it every night, to actually pick a time and write a specific thing. I would like to start learning Chofetz Chaim. I would like whatever. So then you'll get 2 stickers. Okay, that's bonus stickers. Okay, but all this task for the only time is a one time thing. So you just have to write out that list of your habits and then choose one habit that you would like to focus on, and that's your assignment for the week. And Bezrat Hashem, I hope to see you guys next week. Hope you have a beautiful Shabbos, a wonderful meeting you guys. And yeah.